Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Margaret Gray is with us. Now, tell me again the origin of the idea for baby makeovers. We're not talking about your baby getting, you know, like a nose job. We're not talking about your baby getting a liposuction.
No, Phil, there's nothing surgical. The idea that I had for baby makeovers, writing one of my columns a number of months ago, I thought, I've always been very honest with my friends, and one of the problems you get into when you're honest is people don't appreciate the honesty, but I can't live any other way. I've got a very dear couple of friends, Cassidy and Mike Tomlinson, who had a six-month-old daughter. Her name is Emma, and they're very happy. But down through the years, Phil, as I have met people's children, especially the small ones, I can't do anything but be honest. Lying isn't in my vocabulary. And when they show you a picture, or they show you their child, and they say, isn't she pretty, or isn't he handsome, do you want me to lie? Does society ask us to lie? I don't think so. And I have been very vocal in telling them that their children were plain ugly, or that they were not attractive.
Well, okay, so how many friends have you still got?
I've got a lot of friends, Phil.
Well, boy, I'll tell you, if there's one thing people are proud of, it's a newborn child.
Well, these are not newborns. These are 6 months old, because I understand the newborn children.
You know, newborn kids get a little bent out of shape being in a birth canal. And
yes, no, I know that. I'm talking about the fact, and I think it's time we say it, not everyone's 6 months old or 7 months old or 8 months old is cute. There are many ugly children out there. And I have said it. It has caused me problems. But you know something, Phil? I sleep at night. And I know somewhere down the road, because I'm honest, there's going to be a place in heaven for me. That's all I care about. I am thankful that because I'm honest, and yes, I have told people that their children are at times frighteningly ugly. At least I know God understands that I will go to heaven for that. Now, let me tell you.
Yeah, but what is the people? Do you keep friends? Now, you mentioned this.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, you mentioned this couple, Mr. and Mrs. Tomlinson, who happen to know Cassidy and Mike Tomlinson because they work in our business. They have a six-month-old baby. Did you tell them that?
I did, but let me tell you something.
Oh, my God.
No, let me tell you something. Cassidy was telling me how beautiful her baby was, and I hadn't seen the baby. Sure enough, I looked at the kid. I saw the pictures. The kid is ugly. Big ears. A push to... Have you seen the kid?
No, I have not.
Phil, I'm not being gratuitous.
I don't understand to say a child is ugly.
Phil, what I'm doing, though, on your show is telling you something because I've come to a solution. The child, in Cassidy and Mike's case, pushed in face, a head too large, the legs out of proportion, and I swallowed and I said what I had to say. I told her, Cassidy, your little girl is ugly. I'm so very, very deeply sorry for you. And of course, you know, there's Frank, my husband, nudging me. And I said, you know, Frank, this is so old. Quit nudging me like you didn't expect me to say this.
So Frank was there.
Absolutely. But let me tell you what I did.
So what's with the baby makeover?
That's my idea for so many parents who have not been blessed with the beauty of a beautiful child. I'll tell you something, you're going to think I'm kidding. Jason J. Delmonico, my son, really was gorgeous when he was born, and gorgeous throughout his youth. Wonderfully shaped mouth, beautiful eyes. You know, it's just...
But that's a mother talking. That's what I'm saying. Other parents...
No, in my son's case, he really was. But let me get to the point of what I'm trying to say. The baby makeover is an idea that I've had for the parents out there who are listening who may have a baby that is... You know, ugly. And ugly is not a bad word. Ugly is a starting place. You say, all right, look, the kid is ugly. Ugly as the day is long. Let's start there. There are bonnets. There are makeups. There are, I found out, and you'll find, this is fascinating to me, there are pediatric hair pieces. There are all manner of different things you can do to do, literally, to make up your child. Because we're not all bathing beauties. And we all have to do something with our looks, including babies. So that's what I wanted to say in your program, Phil, that the parents that are listening right now, who have children that are 6 months to a year, and maybe even later than that, you've got an ugly kid. Why be resentful at people like me for telling you the truth? Why not do something about it? Empower yourself. Take your fate into your hands.
You mentioned pediatric hair pieces. You mentioned...
Well, there's piercing of the ears for the very young. No surgery. That's absolutely out. But you can pierce the ears. You can get a base or a blush, a kind of makeup. You can use contact lenses, are very popular. If your child has one of these oversized heads, bonnets, large ears, a bonnet will push the ears back. You know, this is what I'm talking about. Don't resent the world for saying what someone should have said. Your kid is frightening looking. I don't mean to say that.
But you're saying it with a gusto and a relish and an eagerness that is almost hurtful.
I feel like if I'm doing that, I'm sorry.
Well, it is. Your kid is frighteningly ugly. How about your child is, you know, kind of plain looking?
All right, that's fine. I just don't play that. As my son likes to say, I don't play that. I'm honest. I don't play that. Sort of waffling with the truth.
That's not waffling with the truth. That's taking someone's feelings into consideration. Margaret Gray is with us. She is a columnist. 1-800-44... What's our number? 449? 1-800-449-8686. I'm sorry. I watched a lot of football this weekend. There was at least one bottle of tequila consumed. What do you want from me? 1-800-449-8686. Is it right to tell someone that their kid is ugly... if you've got an answer to the problem, which is in your case, Margaret, these baby, what you call baby makeovers.
Which, Phil, by the way, no one has ever thought about it until I came up with the idea. No one has ever thought, well, you know something, rather than just face the fact that the kids are ugly, or some of them are, what about a baby makeover? What about a little bit of makeup here, a little pediatric hairpiece, a bonnet, some curls? I saw a child, and she's a sweet little thing, but God, was she ugly. She's the daughter of, Paul and Charisse Clemson, don't you? The two people that work...
The people who work at the L.A. Times?
Yes.
Okay.
They've got a daughter that, with the misshapen ears and the buck... Jesus, Phil, it's... You want to drop to one knee, bury your head in your hand and weep. But what I did is I said, you know something, what we're going to do here, I said, don't you worry about your daughter being ugly. Let's make her the beauty she can be. And, of course, what winds up happening is people thank me.
They don't resent you.
No. Once they recognize what I have done is been honest enough with them to say, you've got an ugly kid, they thank you, they take your advice, and what could have been a lost friendship is a found friendship.
All right, now I wanted to find that out. Somebody says to me, your kid's ugly, but here's how you can make them look better. I'm not going to necessarily feel good about that.
No. The opposite. People appreciate it.
People appreciate it.
Absolutely, because Phil, it's one thing to give people the bad news with no solution. It's another thing to give them the good truth, and here is a way out. All right, let's start with this. Your baby's born. At 6 months, no way is that kid getting into any baby contest, no baby pageant. It's ugly. It always will be ugly. What do you do? Do you want to sit there and resent God? Do you want to hate God for it? Do you want to hate your genetics for it? Or do you want to be proactive, get a hairpiece for the child, get their little chin straps? This sounds comic, doesn't it?
A hairpiece and a chin strap? Yeah.
But there are pediatric devices that can lift the chin and do the... There is tape that is used in Hollywood to this day that can lift sagging areas or wrinkles. See, to me, I think it's so sad when I look at a baby and I've literally got to kind of turn my gaze away because it's... Someone says, oh, here's my baby, and you want to just... Thank you, could you please put your picture down now? You know, I'm eating... I'm kidding about that.
Well, that's a cruel thing to say, Margaret.
But what I'm saying is this. A baby can sense the displeasure that you're taking. An ugly baby can affect the entire family. It promotes a lack of confidence with the parents and the siblings. And the baby itself grows up to be angry. So that's no recipe for happiness.
All right, Margaret Gray with us, 1-800-449-8686. If someone told you that your baby was ugly, but gave you the way out, which is a baby makeover, That is maybe a little blush, a little makeup, a little piercing, of some ear piercing, some contact lenses. They have these pediatric devices, bonnets, etc. Would you then appreciate the advice? Or is being told that your baby's ugly bad enough? For me, I don't think I'd... Who cares what the baby looks like? 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Relocating the edge and jumping over. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
But I just think it's presumptuous.
Well, you're talking about, Margaret Gray is with us, you're talking about people showing pictures of their babies to people at work.
It's presumptuous to assume, Phil, that people think the baby is going to be cute. They're going to think that what you think. You're looking through the eyes of love, which are, they're flawed. They don't show you reality. You show the picture of your kid at work, and the kid just isn't that good looking. You know, people have to lie. They've got to sit there and go, yeah, really good-looking baby. What? That's an imposition on your friends, and it's an imposition, I think, on their morality. Why not accept the truth? Your baby's ugly, and think about these makeovers.
I don't know the point of telling people that their babies are ugly. Here is Marie. Go ahead, Marie.
Yes, hey, Bill. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to make a comment that that lady on the radio, he doesn't have any right to tell her friends that their baby is ugly. Because in the eyes of those parents, their baby is more beautiful than anything else in this world.
But don't you think it's good to give them a bucket of
water? No, you don't have any right to say that. How would you feel if somebody told you that your baby's ugly?
Well, first of all, if someone said to me that Jason J. Delmonico was ugly, I know that they were jealous because he was gorgeous.
See, you're speaking from your mother's point of view, though.
Well, can I ask you this? Why else is he a child television actor if he wasn't gorgeous?
Well, I don't know.
Well, I mean...
What I'm saying is, I don't care. I don't care what you think what my baby looks. To me, that baby is beautiful than anything else. It's more beautiful than your child.
Well, that's the way
I would look at it.
But that factually just isn't true. My son is most probably better looking than your children because he does television. Do you know what I mean? He's in television.
But he still doesn't have any right to tell other parents that their baby is ugly.
Well, let me ask you, Margaret. I mean, isn't it offensive to say that?
No, not
very offensive.
But what
can you imagine what you did to those people that you told them that their baby is ugly?
But I gave them
away. Well, it gives you that right to tell them that their baby is ugly and that your baby is beautiful.
But I gave them a way out. I gave them the baby makeover way out.
I don't get it. Well, maybe to your opinion, they have a choice to make their baby more good looking, but God gives them that baby. God gave the baby that look. You should accept that.
Well, if God gave these people a baby that looked like that, like something out of Lord of the Rings, Two Towers, good sweet Jesus.
Oh, come on.
Those are just television shows. There's no way.
I mean,
there's
Margaret...
There's no such thing in the real world.
The idea that...
Did you see that Two Towers, that Gollum? Can you imagine pulling back the sheets in a nice little bassinet and that's looking at you?
You're looking in fantasy world. It's not real world. There is no baby that looks like that in the real world.
Yeah, and along with that, and thank you very much, Marie, for your call.
Thank you. Marie, I'm getting the feeling that you have a baby that's probably not all that attractive. Am I right or am I wrong?
Oh, I have three children, and I don't care what other people think about my children. To me, they're beautiful than anything else in this world.
All right, that means they're ugly, right?
They're not ugly.
Oh, come on, Margaret.
That's my point.
All right,
it could be ugly to your eyes, but to me, they're beautiful.
Very well said. Thank you very much, Marie. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go over to Monica. Monica, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I want to make three points with Margaret. First of all, you were a child once, and I bet there were times in your life that you weren't as attractive as you could have been.
I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it at all.
Yeah. Secondly, So you know how hurtful that is to have somebody say that to you.
But I would rather have someone tell me the truth. And so I can go about correcting the errors of nature than going along as if I'm good-looking and people snickering and saying, look at the ears on that.
Secondly, I'd like to just mention that usually what's on the outside, what comes out of our mouth, reflects something very deep within us. So when you use the word ugly and you're projecting that onto somebody else, maybe you're not feeling so great inside. Maybe you're feeling kind of ugly inside. I don't know what you're
doing. Well, I don't know what kind of dime store psychology you're using right now. I'm a newspaper writer of great experience. Do you have children?
Yes, I do.
All right. You're well aware of... I'm sure you've seen pictures of friends' babies and you've thought, wow, is that kid ugly?
I've never thought that.
You've never seen an ugly baby. Now, come on.
No, I haven't. I've seen lots of babies. I've seen chubby babies. I've seen toothless babies. I've seen babies with lots of teeth.
Ugly as the day is long.
Babies. And every baby in my eyes is beautiful. I don't think I've ever seen an ugly baby.
Well, I'll tell you something. After almost dying at childbirth, giving birth to my son, I can look at babies in a way that other mothers don't. I see a baby as potentially dangerous. It's potentially lethal. I don't know if you ever read Ray Bradbury's short story, The Small Assassin, which is a fantasy book, but in that story, the baby takes a scalpel to his own mother's throat. Now, this is another way of looking at children.
What? What are you talking about?
Did you read...
The Small Assassin is some science fiction thing that Ray Bradbury... I mean...
First what? Phil, the idea that babies are not ugly just does... You know, I think that you're lying to yourself.
Go ahead, Monica.
Thirdly, Margaret, what you need to realize is we could nitpick everybody, and we could tell everybody that there's something wrong with them. For instance, I could say, you have an ugly voice, Margaret. You need to go have a makeover on your voice.
Well, now, how do you do that? I smoked cigarettes for 30 years. I'm sorry if it doesn't please you.
Well, you could
but again,
go to
you,
class and learn how to talk more politely
you
and lower your voice and do this and do that.
Do you have
I mean,
children?
Come on.
Do you have children?
Yes, I
all right.
Do.
So I'm not allowed to go up to you and say, you know, your baby's ugly.
You have the right to say whatever you want.
There you go. But be that as it may, people may be happy with their children. Thank you, Monica. 1-800-449-8686. Betty, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello, this is Betty.
Hi, Betty. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Margaret, I would like to say something to you. I don't know if you've ever heard this saying or not, but beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Well, you know that that's a load of poo-poo. That's poo.
You are a very opinionated lady.
Well, no, I'm simply trying to save mothers years of heartache by running around thinking their kid belongs in some beauty pageant for babies.
You know, not everybody wants to put their children in beauty pageants because we spend too much time today stressing beauty. That's what's wrong with this world. All people want to see is beautiful people. There are a lot of wonderful, beautiful people out there. They might not be gorgeous from the outside, but they have fabulous, beautiful insides. And let me tell you something.
God is
not appreciative of your unkindness, because I don't care how you put it.
Wait a minute.
You are being very unkind.
God wants you to be honest. Thou shalt not lie.
But you're not lying.
I'm telling the truth. No,
you're
I'm not.
You're bearing false
no,
witness.
No, and let me say something.
Say that.
Betty, there's the way you'd like it to be, and there's the way that it is. I live in the world that is, not the world that I'm not off in fantasy land thinking my child looks like right off of a Gerber's bottle.
Honey, let me tell you, you are so much in fantasy
my kid looks
land,
like
you don't
Gerber.
Have any hope of coming out of it.
Honey, what do your kids look like? Something out of It's Alive Part 2?
No, my oldest daughter has been a professional model for years.
All right, hold on, hon. 1-800-449-8686. Do you appreciate it when someone tells you your kid's ugly? 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Communist influenced.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686. 449-8686.
I'm talking with Margaret Gray. Margaret, on October the 15th, your column... are you there? I'm sorry.
Yes, I'm right here, Phil.
All right. You're on October the 15th, your column that was published locally here in the Orange County Courier was titled Wake Up and Smell the Ugly, right?
Yes, it was.
And there were a lot of complaints.
Phil, there's always complaints with my columns. I'm known as controversial. I am known as a tell-it-like-it-is kind of columnist. I tell it exactly as I see it. I don't pull punches. And I'm sorry if I gave the bad, if I broke the bad news to a lot of the parents out there. Hi, I'm Margaret, and your child is scary looking. And I'm really sorry if that was, but I've given them a way out. The baby makeover.
But you said you don't believe in surgery, but you are suggesting chin tugs, collagen shots.
I think some infants could use collagen shots. Yes, that's how ugly they are.
All right, let me go to PJ. PJ agrees with you, but you're not a mother, are you, PJ?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
And PJ, you understand what I'm saying. You've seen babies, especially, do any of your friends have children?
I have friends who have kids, and actually some of them have been very hideous, and in my personal opinion, you know, parents need to realize that they have the cutest baby in the world.
Exactly. Now, are you in favor of the government stepping in?
Stepping in?
Yes.
What do you mean stepping in?
Yeah.
In other words, if a child is in need of a serious makeover and perhaps plastic surgery, do you think at that time the government should just go right ahead and say, you know what, this is way over your head. Let's have the baby. We'll use some facility.
See, no, I don't agree with that because I believe, you know, I mean, as an adult, the child can make the decision. If they're ugly, they can go get plastic surgery. As a baby, they can't decide. You know what I mean?
But you know the rest of us are victimized. We have to.
I don't necessarily believe we're victimized. I mean, I do think there are some ugly kids that shouldn't necessarily be plastered on TV and in pageants, but I don't think we're victimized by an ugly baby.
Well, but we have to sit and look at it, you know. And
well, what do you mean the government should step in? You mean take the baby and force plastic surgery on it?
If they're going to do things like stick the kid on TV and we got to look at it, and this young lady knows what I'm saying.
I completely agree with your statements here, but I don't understand why the government should take the child. I understand it's an ugly kid, but it's not even going to be able to grow into plastic surgery. The child can decide as it gets older. There's a lot of ugly adults out there, too, you know?
But here's the thing. A child can grow up ugly. Or the government can step in and do something about it. By the time that child's an adult, he may not have the income. He may not have the resources to get plastic surgery for himself. But if a kid's born, and his face would make a freight train take a dirt road, and you know what I'm talking about, don't you, darling?
I completely
know. Then I think the government can step in, take the child from that family, give it the needed plastic surgery, and then assess whether you return that child to the family.
Now, wait a minute. Why would you assess that?
Because
it's not the family's fault the kid's ugly. Some babies turn ugly and have birth miscarriage.
Well, once the child, though, is returned to the family and the child's good-looking, now you've got all these inbred ugly people. You know what I'm saying, don't you?
I completely
do. What are you talking about? Inbred?
Yes. She can't. Look, if you've got a brother.
Well, inbreeders shouldn't be allowed to have children in the first place. I believe there are a lot of people that shouldn't be allowed to have kids anyway.
Do you have any idea what a difference it makes when a baby has permanent eyeliner on and a taped neck? You know?
So you believe in glamorizing a child by putting makeup on it?
That's more revolting
than an ugly baby. Well, there should be no child that has makeup on.
Tape the makeup.
All right. Look, at PJ, thank you for your call.
Oh, no problem.
But if you bring that child home after extensive plastic surgery at the public's expense, and
Why the hell do you want to put your tax dollars into reforming ugly children? That's ridiculous.
Well, for God's sake, they grow up to be... Don't you think they'd thank you when they got older?
Yeah, but I don't want to put my tax dollars into a lot of things I have to put it into now, let alone put it in to pay for somebody's
ugly kid. But the fact is, when that kid grows up and is getting more ass than a rental car, then you...
All right, I don't need to hear this. PJ, thank you very much.
Oh, love the show.
Yeah, thanks. Here is Barbara. Hi, Barbara, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Thank you. I wanted to talk to Margaret, and I wanted to tell her...
Yes, hi, this is Margaret Gray. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, but I want to tell you...
Uh-huh.
I have three children... And the third child was an ugly child. I admit that he was an ugly child.
You admit it. Finally, you
admit
it.
But wait a minute. You listen to me. God made that child, and as it turned out, God was right. By the time he was grown, he is a handsome young man with no help from either you or anybody else about any artificial means.
Well,
God gives us these children.
What about a hairpiece?
Pardon?
What about a hairpiece, a pediatric hairpiece?
Heavens, no. That's the most ridiculous thought I've ever heard of in my life.
Well, if it's ridiculous...
Wait a minute. If you see a child who is not pretty in your eyes, remember he's loved by his parents, he's loved by his God, and if his parents see that he has big ears and they need to be pinned back, they'll go to a surgeon. But you don't need to say that's an ugly baby. You can just say, my goodness, he's got pretty long hands. He may be a pianist. Or you may say, look how the size of his feet. He may be a big football star. But you don't need to tell a person that they're ugly.
You didn't just say the word pianist, did you? What did you say?
Pianist? Piano player.
I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about
a player.
Look, the song, Barbara, the song is America the Beautiful, not America the Land.
I heard you. I don't want to hear you. I want to talk to you.
Uh-huh.
You said you were a newspaper lady.
Yes,
that's fine.
Yes.
That's odd, okay? You said you had a son in TV, so he's bound to be good looking, but that's not necessarily true, because I see a lot of ugly people on TV. You need to keep your opinion to yourself when
you see a
child.
The Brady Bunch were ugly.
Instead of hurting someone.
Name one child on television that's ugly.
One child?
Yes.
Well, I'm from an area. I see several on my local TV, okay?
Well, maybe if you stop producing them. I'm joking. That's a little bit of a joke.
You know, that's insulting.
She's not insulting me because she doesn't really have the couth to do that, okay?
I was kidding around. I thought because of Barbara's accent I could make an inbreeding joke and she'd understand it. I know that you...
Because I'm Southern and ignorant, and I'll tell you what else I am. I'm fat and I'm white. Wait a minute. It's okay to make jokes about Southern people. It's okay because they understand this inbreeding
stuff. Can I ask you a question?
Well, I've got news for you. We've got more morals in our little finger than you do in your left hand. Okay?
All right. If you have morals
when you're around a baby.
Wait a minute. If you have morals, then tell me why. Why did you put yourself through years of embarrassment strolling that ugly brat around when you could have gotten a nip
embarrassed.
And a talk
and
a...
And let me tell you, had I met you on the street and you told me he was ugly, I'd have beat the snot out of you.
Oh.
I'd have whipped you right there on the spot.
Oh, you want to throw some hands, huh?
Well,
you want to get into it. You want to mix it up.
I could.
You know,
I would protect my child. You would not call him ugly.
I'll tell you
right, but you don't.
I'm a lady, but I don't mind mixing it up. And when I told What's-Her-Face that her kid was ugly, Frank and I had to back out of that house.
Well, let me tell you what.
With a broken beer bottle in our hands.
A true lady wouldn't be fooling with a beer bottle to begin with.
No kidding.
And they also wouldn't tell someone that their child was ugly. A true lady wouldn't. She'd have better manners.
Can I ask you a question? Were you ever tempted to put your son in a sack and throw him in the Mississippi River?
No.
No? All right. Even though you did it to all those kittens.
All right, get her out of here. Get her out of here. Barbara, my apologies.
You don't have to apologize to me because I know the type. They think they know everything.
Yeah, they know everything, and they've got the answer to everything.
That's right.
Hold on for what, Margaret?
You know, I believe Barbara has the wrong impression about me. I'm a mother. She's a mother. I love my children. She loves her children. I don't know why we have to argue.
We don't have to argue, but you don't have the right just because you're a mother to tell somebody else, another mother, that their child is ugly.
I'm going to give you an opportunity to assess my singing voice, and I want you to be honest. Tell me if it's good. Will you please do that for me?
If your singing voice is no better than your speaking voice, you're way off track.
I smoked a lot of cigarettes as a young woman. I'm sorry.
Well,
I realize it's harshing me up.
That's something you shouldn't have done.
Here it is.
You're going to sing.
Don't make this lady listen to it.
I want to.
All right, Barbara, thank you very much. It was nice talking with you.
You're welcome, and I'll hear her on the radio, and I still, Miss Henry, I appreciate
you. I hope you can find
And no matter what she says, no one has the right to tell somebody that their child
that's
is ugly.
Joke.
Thank you.
Your child's ugly. All right.
Yeah, you know something, you really, that's...
Phil, I've been trying to lighten your program up with comedy, with an effervescent style.
Well, let me do that, not you.
All right, Lloyd Bonafide is here, Phil. He and I work together at the Youth Center in Alhambra. And how you doing, Mr. Henry? This is Lloyd Bonafide.
Yes, sir. To what do I owe this?
Well, Mr. Henry, despite what... I don't want to get involved in anything that you and Ms. Gray are talking about. I simply wanted to apologize for the rendering of the song I'll Do Anything from the hit musical Oliver, which I was, frankly, not prepared to sing last Friday.
Well, it was a little bit crude.
And Phil, that's exactly why I said to Lloyd, come back, let's sing the song again in a way that I think would be would make you proud. And that's what I want to do, Phil.
Why? I don't need you guys to sing. You know, the awards were on Friday, the Dumbass of the Year awards.
Because we'd like to do it. How about just because? How about just because the sun is up, we're alive, it's a beautiful, beautiful world to live in, and we're Americans. Why not that?
Well,
I mean, Jesus H. Christ, everything...
Will you watch your language, please?
I'm sorry, but everything has to be a reason.
Well, Phil, for once, I would agree with the lady.
All right. Go ahead and sing your song. What's it called?
It's called I'll Do Anything from Oliver.
It's the same one, Mr. Henry, that we attempted on Friday.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Oh, wait a minute. Here we go with the one, two, three, and a...
Phil, I come from a theatrical background. I need to count it down. I'm sorry if you don't understand that.
All right. Go ahead.
One, two... Could you tell him to shut up?
Hey! The guy on the piano, shut your hole. Shut the sewer under your nose. He's still playing.
All right, I'll deal with him.
I'll deal with a piece of turd. Don't worry about it.
Just sing the song.
One, two, three, and one, two, three, and one, two. He'll kick, twist, twist. I'll do anything for you, dear. Anything for you mean everything to me. Oh, my God, Lloyd, are you all right?
Can't breathe.
Phil, I...
All right, this is the last time.
Phil, he's having a heart attack.
Well, then call an ambulance.
Phil, I gotta call you back.
Fine. Jesus. The cat had a heart attack. He was supposed to sing the song. All right, we'll be back. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. FUBAR. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, can we do this then? I'm sorry, folk. Margaret Gray is back.
You know something, Phil? You really don't have a lot of compassion, do you? A man almost died just minutes ago, and you're like, all right, can we do this then?
Mr. Henry, I'm sorry, but I was... lean corned beef that I stuck in my...
All right, I understand it was meat stuck in your throat. Go ahead, sing the song.
Jesus.
What a butthole.
Just sing it.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. Oh, I'll do anything for you, dear. Anything for you mean everything to me.
Where'd you climb a hill?
Anything.
Wear a daffodil.
Anything.
Park it on my nose.
All right, that's what I thought was going to happen. See, right there. I knew that was stats. I knew they were just angling to get on, to get that on the air, and guess what? All right, Vernon Dozier with us. He was on the show last week. Mr. Dozier is a high school coach who believes that he dealt the cards that he played the cards he was dealt. That's the name of his book. He was given a daughter instead of a son.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I have three sons, and I would like him to trade places. My husband coached coach of baseball and coach football and everything like this here, and I would like for him to, if he would like to trade places with my husband.
I would love to have the opportunity to coach young men.
Good.
And
because now he can't do it.
Why?
And he cannot pee against the men's urinal.
Why is that?
Because he's blind. He lost his sight. Instead of you getting on your knees and thanking God that you have a breathing daughter and a daughter that's healthy, you're complaining about penises and condoms? Why, I got this blind husband who can't do things with his kids?
Well, ma'am,
ma'am,
he wouldn't have gone blind had he not been masturbating as much, and that's because you didn't put out the...
Okay!
Right, that's right,
What the hell are you saying to this woman?
That's right.
Well, why'd he go...
Yes, right. That's how he got blind from. Yeah.
From playing with
son,
himself.
My son's in the background. Don't you dare say that about his father. Yeah, here.
What is your son retarded?
He's an ass, he said.
Is he retarded?
Is he retarded? No, but he says you are.
Well, I can hear a man in the background going,
"You're not talking about daddy."
I don't know what that is.
Okay, look
yeah,
it, sir.
Because you're a disgrace.
Absolutely.
And I wish I'm going to get your daughter's name. I wish that I could talk to your daughter.
Okay, here's her name.
Her name. Give
Betty,
me her name.
Betty.
Betty.
Boner.
Betty Boner, huh?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, you gave her a boner, right? That's a shame. I would be disgraceful to tell anybody that you were even related, let alone a father.
Ma'am, I'm trying.
You better get on your knees, because what goes around comes around. I'm telling you, you're going to get punished.
Dear, if you'd gotten on your knees, your husband wouldn't be blind today.
Yeah, uh-huh. You can use all the excuses you want. You can use all the excuses you want. That doesn't hurt me.
Look, you.
That doesn't hurt me, because I know why he went blind. I know what I did. You're, that's right.
Well, let me ask you, can he play piano?
Yeah, he can play a piano.
Well, Ray Charles didn't kill him.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, you know what? You are really an insensitive jackass saying these things to this woman. Elaine, this is Phil Henry. So, I can understand what you're saying, and I appreciate fathers that spend time with sons or daughters.
My father didn't have no son, and my father did a lot with me, too. He didn't drive a car, but we went on the bus. We did a lot of things together. And I loved my father dearly. And for this guy,
was your father blind
about
too?
His daughter, and I'm saying about pissing against the wall, my husband's lucky that he could sit down on the damn toilet to see where
he's
pissing.
Wait a minute. You don't have to have eyes to pee against a wall. Are you kidding?
Oh, yeah, probably you don't. You probably piss all over your damn floor. Probably stinks in your house.
Let me ask you something. Did your father ever make you put a banana in your shorts?
No.
Bill Henry Show. Comedy Gold.
Okay, anyway. Forgive me, but I've got a mouthful of pizza and a head full of ideas. All right, our number 1-800-449-8686. And we're going to be back here on the program. We've got Harrison Ford in Mexico getting sauced on tequila. We have a celebrity poker. We got a bunch of stuff that's really making me want to chirp. We'll be including this pizza I'm eating right now. Forgive me. I'd rather have a mouthful of something else, but I have to be pizza. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, brought to you by Nissan and your Nissan dealer.
This is The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Well, I feel bad for the Packers, but, you know, if you don't have any defense, 4th and 27, you can't defend that. You got no business going anyplace. You got no business going anyplace but back to Green Bay, baby. As much as we sat with the brats, I bought all kinds of sausages. And, by the way, a big plate full of sausages still looks like just a stack of turds to me, but I bought all of that, you know, the good stuff, you know, that habanero sausage stuff. I wanted to have a California-style, Green Bay-style thing. Invited all the friends over, and the Packers were horrific on defense. Just embarrassing. Beyond any, and don't tell me about Brett Favre's pass. I knew when he threw the ball that there was, I knew the instant that ball was picked off, there had been a mistake on the route run or the play called. So don't start telling me, oh, boy, Favre, what the hell happened to him? Nothing. They got us. They wouldn't be the Green Bay Packers if it wasn't for Favre. The fact is, their defense blows on wheels. On freaking wheels. Fourth down and 27, and Donovan McNabb beat you. By the way, Donovan, I think the time has come to say something to you. I think enough time has passed. I need to say this to you, Mr. McNabb, and to all the rest of you. You know, Donovan McNabb was criticized by one guy. One guy said one thing, and you'd think McNabb was tied to a freaking wheel and whipped by the slave master. You'd think that the whole world hated Donovan McNabb. One guy said something. And McNabb and the Eagles and the NFL and the print media and the broadcast media, including guys like me, but I mean, even I got tired of myself. Even I got tired of listening to myself. It started piling on like, oh, poor Donovan. What a terrible and what a pressure-packed season. And the way he's risen above it, the way, I mean, what one cat said something, man. It ain't like, you know, it isn't like you had the SS was interviewing you in a dungeon someplace. Good Lord. What a freaking baby. Now that I think about it, what a sniveling, whining child. And then the guy said this, and then he said, then I did. All right, so the cat said something about black quarterbacks. Whatever, you're living in America, haven't you? You realize where you're living. This is like de rigueur in this country. Somebody going to knock you for your race, man. We haven't grown up yet as a country. We're getting there. It may take another 500-600 years, but we'll get there. I can see Chris growing before my eyes. Chris Pelton, my fine feathered friend in there, he may even get that swastika taken off of his back within the next 10 years that he got inside. It's part of the Aryan Brotherhood. No, but seriously, I got to thinking about it. What big problem has he had? Cat said something about you. Everybody discredited it. Everybody jumped on Donovan McNabb's side. Everybody said, it's not true. You are a valuable, a valuable entity in the NFL. You've been very, very valuable to this football team. You stack up with just about any other quarterback in the National Football League. You know, Trent Green didn't exactly have the big boffo day yesterday. Oh, yeah, I realize we could say that the Kansas City Chiefs defense, which doesn't exist either, let him down. But, you know, come on. You going to try and tell me that Trent Green is better than Donovan McNabb? Of course not. But be that as it may, all of that talk aside, one guy said one thing. Get over it. Move on. And don't start pretending like you're Rosa freaking Parks over here either. And don't start pretending like you're Martin Luther King. And don't start pretending like you're anything other than what you are. You're a football player, okay? Somebody kicked you in the ass a little bit. Big deal. I thought you were tougher than that. You won a football game yesterday. And I got to tell you something. My hat's off to McNabb. He scrambled for over 100 yards. The Green Bay Packer defense did not show up to play football. It was pathetically sad. I feel really bad for a cat like Favre. I feel bad for Amon Green, who had a tremendous year. The guy had 106. How many yards did he have yesterday running the ball? About 160 yards? I mean, the offense was doing their part. The defense, 4th and 27? Let me explain to many of my friends out there what that means. It's time now for Phil's Football Clinic. Okay. In American football, you get 4 whole plays to go 10 yards. Can you believe it? 10 yards. How far is 10 yards? 10 yards is... it's not a lot. 4 plays you get to go those 10 yards. And yet the ability of men against men and the proficiency of this game of football has developed to such a point where it takes all 4 of those plays sometimes. And sometimes after 3 plays, they give up and kick the ball away. Even though you got a 4th play, after 3 plays, they give up and they say, screw it, I ain't going to go on the 4th play because then I got to give the ball back to those guys. So the Pittsburgh, what's the name of the team again? The Pittsburgh Eagles? I'm kidding. The Philadelphia Eagles had 4 plays to go 27 yards. Now, I don't know if it was 4th and 20. I don't know if it was 1st and 27. By 4th down, they had 27 yards to go. If you can't make it in 3 plays 10 yards, what's the odds of a guy making 27 yards in 1 play? I mean, it just goes off the charts. Now, in a normal game of football where there's, you know, lots of time left, teams punt the ball in a situation like that. But it was overtime. This was the season. The Green Bay Packers, all they had to do was hold these guys from going 1 play, 27 yards. Like I said, you get 4 plays to go 10 yards, only 1 play to go 27 yards. Or 81 feet. Thank you very much, Mark, for that bit of... I'd like to thank my engineer, Mark Dubin, for that little bit of mathematics. Thanks a lot for that, bud. Mark came up with it.
I can't do that kind of adding.
Oh, yeah. Now, 81 feet. So that's all the Packers had to do. Keep him from going 81 feet. Guess how many feet the Philadelphia Eagles got on that fourth down? They got 84 feet. They got, in fact, 28 yards on a pass play. So the Packers came up stinking the joint completely out, smelling like 5 days of just bad shower hygiene, and they're out of there, baby. And Favre, yeah, he chucked it up, man, but, if, you know, get out of here. Whatever. Never should have gone that far. Now, I'm sorry if you're not a big football fan, but I happen to be, and I have to kind of get this off my chest. I want to just sort of make my statement now that it wasn't Favre that lost that game. Anybody that thinks it was is, just doesn't know anything about football. Number two, by the way, in the St. Louis-Carolina game, which I know there's a lot of people saying, oh, please, God, Phil, stop with the football. Well, no, I got to make this point. Mike Martz didn't make a mistake going for it on fourth down, or not going for it on fourth down. He kicked a field goal. They got into overtime, okay? Do you recall that it was first down on the 37-yard line in OT, Rams ball. First down on the 37-yard line of the Carolina Panthers in OT. Now, what do you figure you need to get a field goal? I'm figuring down to the 30. Eh, inside the 35. Yeah, okay, Wilkins couldn't hit a 54-yarder before that, but Wilkins had hit a 52-yarder, I think, in the game, and a 48-yarder. See, these people, what are you talking about? Go for it on fourth down. Look, I agree with Martz. Just keep on playing. So they had a first down on the 37. All they had to do was maybe run Falk, which they hadn't done at all throughout the game. Run Falk three times and get it inside the 35. That football game is won. No, what did they do? They threw it! They passed the ball! With overtime, sudden death, all you need is 3 points. All you need is 5-6 yards tops. They throw it with the defense playing underneath. They throw a short pass. Not a deep pass, a short one. With the defense knowing that all they had to do was get 7 yards. They probably were playing some kind of a 4-6. They were probably playing a goal line for all I know. They were up on top of the St. Louis Rams, and they threw the ball. Now, let me ask you a question. Who's the offensive coordinator for the Rams? If you tell me Lovie Davis, I'm going to commit homicide. Do you know at all, Mark? Find out. Because I heard today that Lovie Davis, and by the way, Lovie, I am going to make fun of you for your name. Are you kidding me? I hear these guys, well, there's Lovie Davis, one of the great minds. Lovie? I heard he interviewed for the Chicago Bear job. If he's the offensive coordinator that called that freaking play, are you guys, you know what? You and the Bears belong together, Lovie. What's your middle name, Dovey? Hey, Janice, what do you think his middle name is, Dovey? Lovey Dovey Davis? Lovey Howell? Yeah, Thurston Howell?
Lovey.
Unfreaking real. You don't, I mean, and everybody today, well, should Martz have gone for it? Shouldn't he have gone for it? I mean, oh, shut up. You too, Johnson. Those guys on Fox. You know, it's a pretty sad day when a fat, beer-drinking slob like me knows more about football than Jimmy Johnson. It's a sad, black, pathetic day. You want to go back to whether or not Martz went for it? Hey, I tell you what, it was first down at the 37-yard line for the Panthers. He went for it then and there, or was that a stupid play, huh? Why not? Why not go for the TD there? They throw the ball on first down, deep in Carolina. Well, not deep, but they were enough in the Carolina territory. He's the offensive coordinator for the St. Louis Rams, Steve Fairchild. See you later, Steve. I'd fire his ass in a second. And they're talking to me about Mike Martz. He should have gone for it on this and that and everything else. Oh, come on. Give it a freaking rest and start using your brains. What did you see in that game? You watching the same game I was watching? Was anybody out there watching the same football game that I was watching? I'm trying to make the point. Lovey is the assistant head coach and defensive coordinator, huh? Okay. I guess their defense played okay. I still say that freaking name Lovey, though. You gotta be high on some kind of a... What are you sniffing over there, man? Are you refilling the ether tanks over there, Lovey? Lovey Dovey Davis. What if he became a serial murderer, and you know how they always say the three names of the guy? Henry Lee Lucas. Lovey Dovey Davis is being looked for by police. All right, so that's it. I'm not going to talk any more football unless, of course, it comes to mind again. I promise I won't talk any more football unless I start talking about it again, which means that I will talk about it again. There's a lot to purge out of my system for this season. And by the way, my wife says, are we having a Super Bowl party again? I don't know. I don't know why I want that. I mean, what? So what, man? Yeah, the Patriots, the only team left, you know, the Pats. Yeah, I dig them. I like Tennessee a lot, even though they play in Nashville, which, I'm sorry, a lot of you fans in Tennessee, you know, it's great, I love you, but Jesus, those uniforms blow, the name sucks, it's just, it's all wrong. It's just everything about that team is wrong, other than the team. Jeff Fisher got a great team, Steve McNair is a great quarterback. He got a knock off, you know, keeping that open can of Coors between his legs as he's driving down the interstate, but other than that, he's a great guy. But I'm gonna go for the Patriots. I like that Belichick, Peyton Manning. You know, whatever. Who cares? 1-800-449. I think I'm gonna cry. No, 1-800-449-8686. All right, we got to talk a little bit about the poker on television, which I kind of want to do. And we also have Phil's mailbag today, and Bobby Dooley will join us for a few seconds. And I guess we got to keep on talking ad nauseum about Pete Rose, as if his problems are paramount, as if Pete Rose is important to anybody or anything on this planet. We got to keep talking about him. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
And they have a list here, rate the Super Bowls. I don't want to go too far into football because I know that it sounds like sports talk. But, you know, in point of fact, our radio show, forgive me if I start sounding like Forehead Boy here. Point of fact, we do very well among men. And we have very high ratings. By the way, just a note to Matt Drudge. Love it, man. You're really winding Forehead Boy up. I got an email from Matt today. He says that Forehead Boy is going to turn into that Jack guy in The Shining. He's going to take an axe to Sean Hannity. That's just his opinion, in case you want to sue there, Forehead Boy. But I think Matt's right. I think that Forehead Boy there at Fox is going to eventually get so frustrated with his inability to do a radio show properly, he's going to take a fire axe to Sean Hannity and his entire family. And it is going to be horrible. It is going to be Lizzie Borden revisited. The entire Hannity family cut to pieces like fresh red meat. And Forehead Boy babbling as he steps up gingerly into a state vehicle. That's fine, Mr. O'Reilly. Oops, I said his name. Now it's a lawsuit for sure. I enjoy it. 1-800-449-8686. What do I enjoy? Watching a guy fail. No, I'm joking. I just thought it was very funny when he said the fire axe thing. Now they said rate the Super Bowls, and then we'll move on to, you know, the People's Choice Awards, Paul O'Neill. In other words, nothing is going on. What did I tell you, man? When the good football games start to end, nothing's happening, baby. Well, there's enough happening for me, though, but Jason Williams, by the way, it's all sports. That's why I say there's nothing happening. The only really interesting stuff that's going on is sports. So if you're really not into sports, you may want to just bug off this show tonight, man. Because we did an hour there with Margaret saying your baby's ugly. What more do you want? How much more, abuse can you take? Your babies are ugly. Get out of here. Because there's a lot of sports news, and I'm going to have to cover it. Cover it like the waterfront, baby. I got Pete Rose, that freak. I got Jason Williams. Holy God. And then we have Celebrity Poker. Do you guys ever watch the Travel Channel? They have a thing called the World Poker Tour, which is really thoroughly entertaining to watch. If you play poker and you love the game of poker, which I do, you'll really be fascinated with this. They play Texas Hold'em, and Texas Hold'em, just so you know, is a game whereby you have, Texas Hold'em is two down and three up in the middle, or five up in the middle, excuse me, two down, two to the player himself, and then five in the middle. It ain't like I play a lot of Texas Hold'em. I do play a 44 and One-Eyed Jacks Are Wild, five-card stud. Now, no, so they, you know, but what's great is these are professional poker players, and one of the games I was watching took place in a men's poker club in Paris. Now, there ain't too much in this world that I enjoy more than seeing a bunch of frogs getting crapped on in their own turf, and that's exactly what happened. There was an Aussie playing with them, and this dude was table talking. Now, table talk is when you're just giving each other crap across the table, and many games, they don't allow table talk. Like, for instance, bridge, crap like that. Poker, you can talk till you're freaking blue in the face. They don't care. But apparently the French don't dig it. See, they're gentlemen. But this Aussie was blowing their minds. I mean, they get their draw, you know, they draw their card and go like, you hit the straight, right? Did you get your straight? I know you did. I can see the look on your face. You know, you got your straight. You got your inside straight? So, and the frogs are pretending, they're trying to pretend like it isn't bothering them. Yeah, uh-huh, like 100,000 later, they bothered them plenty. It bothered them plenty. This freaking Aussie's got a stack of chips. It's just, it's fantastic. It's wonderful to watch. They've got cameras. Have you ever watched it, Mark? The other one they have, though, is the one that is beginning to grate on my nerves. Bravo has this celebrity poker. Now, I realize that I'm unique. I realize that I'm unique when I say the following phrase. Do I have to see a celebrity involved in every aspect of life? Can't I watch a poker tournament where there's, like, good players as opposed to Matt Damon? I know what Matt Damon does well. He's an actor. He's a great actor. I know what Ben Affleck does well. Great actor. Just because Ben Affleck is photographed in Las Vegas playing poker doesn't mean he knows his ass from a one-eyed jack. Doesn't mean he knows his ass from an ace. But I guess it might be fun to watch these guys get... Why don't you make them play with their own money, Bravo? Why don't you do something different, anything different? Just to say that you did it. Even though I know Alvin Zucker runs your network... Hey, Alvin, before you head back to New York, why don't you have those guys play with their own money? Or would you not get invited to the good parties if you did that? Have Ben Affleck walk in there with his own dough. I'd like to see that. And then put him up against some pros. Put him up against some pros with their own bread. Oh, that would be a gorgeous thing to watch him get his freaking rear end cleaned out. Just watch him get raped. Not that the guy, you know, not that he can't afford it. It's thoroughly entertaining, but I think those are the... How about if you got to put celebrities in there, do you mind if I watch Mimi Rogers with a low-cut thing there? How about getting that freaking what's-her-face, that Anderson there? There's some celebrity poker for you. I'm looking at Ben Affleck. Why? Get that chick he was with. What's her name? Lopez? Put that Lopez in there. Now we're talking. In a glass chair. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, Bobby Dooley was with us. Bobby is the president of the Western States Homeowners Association, and she's happy that her son Seth has chosen the Marine Corps, and she knows the Marine Corps is going to be much better off for it, although she doesn't truly expect her son's going to have to go through boot camp. After all, they're very rude in boot camp.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
This is Bob, Phil.
Yes.
I cannot believe what I'm hearing from this. Are you listening, lady?
Yes, I'm listening to you.
Okay, so you do have a son, right?
I've been talking about him for 20 minutes.
Yeah,
his name is Seth.
About 19 minutes too long for the Marine Corps. There is no way that he is going to avoid boot camp. And secondly, if he were to go to boot camp, he would not be successful because they weed out weaklings, and that's what your son is.
Well, you don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, I was in the Marine Corps for 20 years.
I'm not talking about taking down, you know, orders for how many jockstraps they need. I mean being able to...
Wait a minute, you don't know what this man did.
Well, what did you do?
Okay, I was in Korea, got the Silver Star.
What'd you do there?
I fought for this country, and I didn't have to be good-looking, although I am. I was a leader. And your son is not. He does not deserve to go into the Marine Corps.
Well, you know what?
things and times, and the Marine Corps has changed quite a bit since you were over there with, you know, a different shaped helmet, different guns.
In your son's case, I think the helmet should have a point on it.
Is that the kind of humor that they cut circulating in the Marine Corps? Because you guys really need some help.
Well, I think that your son is the one who needs some help because he has a mother who doesn't understand the Marine Corps and what it's all about.
Are you hearing this man, Bobby? He's a retired colonel. This is a man, a leader. This is an officer.
Well, what you aren't hearing is, why do you need to put basic training in for a boy who already understands about, you know, tank, gun, run, kill, all of that? Why can't he just go right to the officer school?
Well, you know what? I bet your son would excel in one of the three things you mentioned. Run. He would be a great runner. And if he were ever shot or whatever, it would be in the back, probably by his own men.
You know, we're having a Dooley family reunion in August. Family reunion. You know, you are really a sarcastic bastard, aren't you?
Yes, I am. And I am.
You know, well, look at Miss Dooley.
No, I'm not going to take it.
Miss Dooley.
I'm not taking it from him. I'll be God darned if my Seth is going to miss it so he can go to basic training. Well, so Uncle Sam can get down on his hands and knees and kiss my bright red Rosie.
Miss Dooley,
yeah?
We don't want your son. We do not want your son.
Why?
Put him in the Army,
we say
Navy,
we.
The Air Force.
Well, are you still in the Marines?
Retired.
Well, it's not we anymore, is it?
What'd you say?
It's not we anymore, is it?
What are you doing?
Marine is never retired. He's always a Marine.
Oh, yeah. I heard that once. Yeah.
Your son will never hear it because he'll never make it in the Marine Corps.
Want to bet?
Okay, look, this is juvenile.
No.
Phil, this woman is a Looney Tune.
A Looney Tune.
Yeah, and that's being complimentary.
Who pays the tax? Bobby, 1,000 Marines would drop dead to see my son march over their bodies.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yeah, while she's eating her potato chips. Oh, what? There it is. It's Bobby Dooley with Marine Corps Colonel Bob calling in on the Phil Henry Show. Our number, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The People's Choice Awards were on last night. Did you get a load of that, huh? That's right. And where are they, Janice? I'll tell you whether you guys got it right or not. Ah, here they are. I want to read the People's Choice Awards and then tell you whether the people know what they're talking about. Actually, it doesn't really matter. I guess the only thing that counts is the money through the turnstile, or the people through the turnstile, and the bread that it makes. All the awards in the world ain't going to save you dick. It's going to save you nothing. It's not going to save your job. It isn't going to save your life. Nothing. But I did want to make mention of a couple things. This is my opinion. I mean, my opinion don't count for diddly squat. My opinion don't count for jack squat, baby. But here it is anyway. Best comedy, Bruce Almighty? Are you guys serious? I mean, honest to God, when's the last time most of you had a physical? I want to know. I want to know now. I want to know if the oxygen's getting to your brain. Bruce Almighty, huh? First of all, if you've seen about three different movies, Oh God and It's a Wonderful Life included, you've seen Bruce Almighty. Secondly, Liar Liar is like way better. And thirdly, are you nuts? Hey, what other comedies came out? I don't think anything was funny last year. Was it? Motion picture, Pirates of the Caribbean. That's the best motion picture, Pirates of the Caribbean. You look at just name any cartoon or any exploding movie, you know, special effects extravaganza. That's what's going to win the People's Choice Award. Forget it. People's Choice, best movie, Lost in Translation. Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, it was subtle, foreign. Yeah, the people love those kind of movies. You know, the popcorn eaters, man, they pay their money, and guess what? They get to say what they get to say. They vote with their dollars. But ain't that enough? Why do I also have to hear what their actual opinions are? That's driving me ape. Look, at a ball game, I get to scream and yell and cry. But in movies, you don't get that option. All you get to do is pay and watch and then go outside and retch. That's all you get to do. What we should do is have reporters posted outside of movie theaters as people are walking out. What'd you think of the movie? I'm very sorry to interrupt you. Favorite all-time entertainer. What does that mean? For the year or for all time? Favorite all-time entertainer, Tom Hanks. All right. I don't want to quibble. Does that mean he tap dances too? What does it mean, the all-time entertainer? Does he dance and sing? Or does it mean actor? I don't see that nobody specifies. All-time entertainer, I think the guy can juggle, sing, dance, everything. Best actor, Mel Gibson, naturally. Why? Because of Braveheart. He's still writing that one. He's still writing, that's the greatest movie he did, and he's still writing the success of Braveheart. Because everybody knows The Patriot Blue, and this new one, The Passion of Christ. Is that ever going to come out, or is he still just inviting people five at a time to watch it? Which is kind of a new way of doing it. He's going to make his money, like, over the next 50 years, five at a time. Now showing The Passion, only five admitted per show. Best television drama series, CSI, Crime Scene Investigation. Best comedy series, Friends. Favorite performer, Jennifer Aniston. By the way, I saw that Jennifer Aniston, you know, she was in Bruce Almighty. Now, my question is this. Do you want to have a career, and I'm just being honest, all right? I just want to know, and maybe this doesn't mean much to a lot of people, but, okay, so in other words, Ms. Aniston wants to play the girlfriend. She wants to play the girlfriend and the wife, and that's what she wants to do, right? Or she's saying to herself, that's the best way to break into star vehicle movies or mainstream movies, is to play the, see? Because she's been a girlfriend and a wife in the last, what was the other one she did with the guy? What's the one she's got with Ben Stiller now? She's like the guy's girlfriend. What was that other thing, though? The good girl, what was the other one? She's a girlfriend. Yeah, I think a good girl, she's somebody's girlfriend. So you want to do that? I mean, that's what Lisa Kudrow's doing, too. Seems to be working out okay for her, I guess. So you want to be Terry Garr. All right. That's it. Thank you. Do you want to be Sally Fields? Do you want to be Faye Dunaway? Or do you want to be Terry Garr? That's the big question we're asking today of Ask Jennifer Aniston. Male performer, Ray Romano. Male performer. There's actor, then there's actress, but when you get into TV, you're not an actor, you're a performer now. Almost like you're working in porn. Reality-based program, Survivor. Oh, look at this. String of Pearls Islands. Pearl Necklace Islands. Favorite talk show host, Oprah Winfrey. New comedy series, 2.5 Men. Naturally, because those are the guys that were hosting the show. You're not going to have the guys that are on 2.5 Men not win the award, do you? 2.5 Men. Now, be reasonable, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not saying I'm the funniest guy on God's earth. I realize I have a comedy pilot in development over at Fox that probably won't see the light of day. And I'm perfectly comfortable with all of that. I've lived a good life. And when I'm done tonight, I'm going to drive off into the Angeles National Forest and blow my brains out. Good night. Thank you. I'm Phil Henry. I'm kidding. But do you really think Charlie Sheen's funny? Honest to God. I've seen movies I love him in. I loved him in Wall Street. I loved him in the other one there, Platoon. I dug him in that other thing that he did. But 2.5 Men is not funny. I don't give a crap what network executive is blowing smoke up your ass, Charlie. Take it from me, my friend. I don't know you from Adam, and I wouldn't want to... You know what? I think you're a tremendously talented guy, dude. That show ain't funny that you're on, okay? And I don't care who's blowing smoke up your rear end. And, by the way, nice cigar, Mr. Moonves. But as I was saying, new dramatic series, Joan of Arcadia. Now, is that supposed to be Arcadia, California? That's my hometown. That's the first time they've referenced Arcadia, ever, in any TV show, ever, other than, weekly racing from Santa Anita. Is it a coincidence that I happen to be on the air in Los Angeles, and I come from Arcadia, that they decide to have a show based there? Or is it just, you know... Now, music. Favorite group or band, Matchbox 20. I don't understand that. Well, first of all, there's a lot of other bands that are happening right now. How did that band get to the fore? Even Coldplay makes sense, and I can't stand either one of those bands. What? What do you think about that, Mark? Matchbox 20, what is... You know what they got voting? They got 15-year-old girls voting. That's who's voting. Matchbox 20 2 years ago was a great band. What? This People's Choice Awards, man, there's something ain't right. Somebody has been shoveling some cow manure in there. Female performer, a tie between Beyoncé Knowles and Faith Hill. Okay. Huh? Is that performer as in they can't sing, they can dance? or their live shows are good. Is that what I mean by performer? Male performer, Tim McGraw. And favorite music video, I love this bar, Toby Keith. So there you go. That is the People's Choice Awards. Now let me tell you, I can't comment on any of them, and I wouldn't. Well, I guess I did. I didn't want to come right out and say that you guys are out of your freaking minds, but, you know, you guys, God bless you for paying the money you do, but your taste is in your rear end. And I've got to be honest with you, it is. Your taste is right up your rear end. In other words...
On the R.C. Collins Blows-O-Meter? Broccoli!
There you go. Now, here's my People's Choice Awards. The nominees are... All-time great male performer, Ray Romano.
On the R.C. Collins Blows-O-Meter? Egg salad.
Thank you, Ray. And, of course, who was blowing smoke up his... Oh, yeah, 2.5 Men, new comedy series. What's the rating?
On the R.C. Collins Blows-O-Meter? Yep, bean dip.
Yeah. There you go, man. It's the only meter that counts, the R.C. Collins Blows-O-Meter. And that stuff's coming up strictly bean dip, baby, from where we stand. It's coming up strictly deviled eggs. Good God. Best music video. All right, there you go. There's your toot, there's your whatever the hell it's called, the People's Choice. Yeah, the People's Choice. Okay, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
By the way, the People's Choice Awards, a lot of you don't know this, they started out, I don't want to get into a big thing about it, but the People's Choice Awards started out as, I remember, it's a 30-year-old award show. It started out as something they were going to try out where you voted via telephone and mail. What the hell happened? What the hell happened there? I heard a little man's voice. And he went, Bill. It's like a... Am I high? Okay, that's it. Okay, I do have schizophrenia. I'm hearing voices. I gotta leave. I gotta go. So, the People's Choice Award... Ah, who cares? Now, moving on to Pete Rose. No, the People's Choice Awards, it was like in a... It was held in a TV studio. And, like, a guy would stand there at a lectern in his TV studio, and the winner is Bill Fernundley. And the guy's already there because he was told, and he comes up, yes, thank you, this is great, and then he'd split. Now, whoever took over the production of it over the last several years, it's turned into quite an extravaganza. It used to be, like, the dullest, dumbest, stupidest. Well, what am I saying? It still is. All right, 1-800-449-8686. News about Pete Rose just never ends. It never stops. And as I said, today is going to be sports intensive because it's just one of those days where the sports world, like a pus-filled pimple, just like, oh, God, just won't get just glaring on your face. Everywhere you turn, football, Pete Rose. Now we got Jason Williams, some turd that plays basketball, some guy got accidentally shot. In all of my life, you want to know what's wrong? If you want to talk about gun ownership, there's what's wrong. Some mental case that doesn't know what he's doing with a gun. I don't know what happened, but apparently he says, you know, he was screwing around with a shotgun, and it went off accidentally, and a limo driver got killed because they were showing him the place. He's a punk kid. You know, he's made $1 million, $2 million. He wants to show them all the bling bling and all that bull crap that he's got. So he takes the limo driver on a tour, naturally. Show him all the stuff he got. Then he's got a gun, then he pulls it out, then he plays with it, and then someone dies. This is the kind of gun ownership that is endangering the country, not the NR freaking A. That's just an organization that's got a lot of juice, that keeps the Second Amendment and all that crap. You don't have to be a freaking conservative to understand this. That's just an organization. I don't even belong to the NRA. I'm a gun owner. I don't belong to the NRA. I don't need to belong to the NRA. I don't need mailers once a week to tell me what's up with gun law. Get out of here. Doesn't mean I don't own a gun. But good for those cats that are responsible. Good for everybody that takes gun safety. Good for everybody that knows what they're doing with a gun. It ain't the NRA that's threatening the well-being of human beings. It's not me. And it ain't people who are responsible, God, you know, God-fearing or you know, atheist-fearing people who own guns and know what they're doing with them. It's a jackass like this. And it's the other jackasses, gangbangers, criminals, people like that. Some clown with a gun, he's playing with it. He should. The problem is Jason Williams didn't shoot himself. Good God, I wish that would have happened. I wish to God. A guy fooling around with a shotgun. The saddest part of this entire story is that that limo driver's dead, that Jason Williams instead didn't blow his own brains out. That would have been far, far better in the long run. Because, you know, he that is a dumbass with the sword dies by the sword. A dumbass with a sword is a dead dumbass by the sword. Something like that. Speaking of dumbasses, the Pete Rose story doesn't go away for one reason and one reason only. Pete Rose won't let it go away. This is all about Pete. And Pete Rose is a classic example of athletes everywhere. If you think he's unique, what do you think I've been talking about on my show for over a year? What I've been standing for on my show for over a year. The ego that these guys have, the arrogance that they have, combined with the criminality, you get Pete Rose. Pete Rose is a classic example of the professional athlete. He is not an exception. He is an example of the professional athlete. But having said all of that, I think he should go into the Hall of Fame. And then with him in the Hall of Fame, lock the door and burn it to the ground. How about that as a compromise? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And now it's time to take a look in the Phil Hendry Show mailbag. Phil, all day I've been walking around and suddenly laughing when I think of Steve Bozell tossing his niece off the roof into a huge pile of snow. Poof, she's gone. Oops, better dig her out. Good God, man, keep it up. Alan in Tennessee. Hey, Phil, you're the greatest, perhaps the funniest guy I've ever heard. I seldom miss a show, but funny how on 4th and 26th the Packers have lousy defense, and it sounds like you're down on your team, but a week ago when the Cardinals scored on 4th and 25, it was funny as hell. And the truth is that last pass was Favre's fault, not the receiver, not the play calling. He threw it up for grabs because he was believing all the divine intervention crap he'd been hearing all week about his dead father, Tim, a diehard Vikes fan. Oh, yeah, yeah, well, that figures. Well, let me put it to you this way. The Vikings suck both on the offensive and defensive side of the football, so you got me beat there. And, yeah, as far as Favre throwing it up there, that's figures for a Viking fan, man. Talk about throwing it up. Every quarterback you guys have ever had throws up at most interstate rest stops. Why? Alcoholism. Sorry, but you pissed me off there, Tim. Dear Phil, the other night you outdid yourself with your Hugh Hefner comments. The image of this gray-haired guy with flammable pajamas and a bubble pipe trolling around with an eye patch like Heinrich Himmler and getting gummed in a dark room was outrageous. Thanks also for sticking up for women like me who don't look, act, and think like bimbo Barbie dolls. Regards, Donna Milan. Dear Phil, I listened to the gay movie critic who kept saying, "But you know I'm a gay man, don't you?" and said giving your daddy's coat to a fat banjo player is a euphemism for selling your ass. The guy was a complete idiot. He thought Nicole Kidman actually experienced hardship on the set of Cold Mountain and slavery shouldn't have been abolished because of that. Then you had this degenerate ass who is a woman beater who says the most outrageous things, including first and foremost, that it's possible to willingly change your sexual orientation. Phil, nobody is that stupid. We out here in Radioland deserve better than that. Mojo. Is he kidding? He was for real, huh? And his name's Mojo? probably calls all the sports shows, huh? Phil, I just heard your guest, Vernon, say he wanted to know what it was like to buy his son his first box of condoms, but found himself standing there with a box of Playtex Junior Slims in his hand. I'm so happy I found your radio show, Dave in New Hampshire. Phil, Ramstein is alive and well. There are tens of millions of dollars worth of projects ongoing, including what will be the largest mall in all of friggin' Germany, which will be done in 2005. I'm stationed here and listen to your show, and I want to set you straight. There are 40,000 military members around here and soon to be more. The military is simply consolidating. It is now time for me to get into my BMW and drive 140 miles per hour to a friend's house. Thank you, Richard. Well, hey, man, I got to tell you, my sources tell me Ramstein Air Base is gone, baby, gone as of 2005. And that makes me laugh even harder knowing the Krauts are building a mall. Oh, my God. Okay, Phil, she was so... He's quoting a line from our show. Phil, she was so ugly, she made a freight train take a dirt road. That one has legs, man. I could be walking down the street, jaunty joy. That one comes into my brain, and boom, I've got a smile on my face. You the greatest, Phil, Mike. And finally, hey, Phil, haven't heard the R.C. Collins blows-a-meter lately. Would like to hear an explanation of the different grades on the meter. Love the show. Keep on telling it the way it is. Paul in Oregon. Well, here is the R.C. Collins blows-a-meter, Paul, and this level...
On the R.C. Collins blows-a-meter... Yep, that's the mysterious stench from the crap rune on a fishing boat 5 months out at sea.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. That's probably level five, which is eyes watering and corrosive, meaning paint will literally come off of walls. This is the next level.
On the R.C. Collins blows-a-meter, broccoli.
A faint stench, something that's sort of, something isn't quite right. Next.
On the R.C. Collins blows-a-meter, scrambled eggs.
Now you know you're smelling something bad. That's the second level of stench.
On the R.C. Collins blows-a-meter, yep, bean dip.
Yeah, we're getting bad there, man. It's getting bad. And for instance, I would say the Minnesota Vikings, they would probably be...
On the R.C. Collins blows-a-meter, egg salad.
There you go. Go Vikings. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show here. Our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com. Thank you for your email. And we read it when we gets it. Also, please do go to our website, www.philhenryshow.com. Our website features a variety of interesting things to do and to see and to read. We have our daily show log where if you've missed the show, you can see a summary of what happened on the show the day before. We also have taped excerpts, and all that goes into our archives. We also have our webcast now archived. If you didn't see our webcast last Friday, first of all, I'd like to thank each and every one of you who have seen me over the years at personal appearances and on webcasts, and you didn't have the common decency to walk up to me and say, "Oh, God, lose some weight!" Because I looked at the replay of the webcast today because I wanted to see what I looked like doing characters. I don't know. And I said to Janice, "Who's the fat tub of guts? Wonder why?" Because she goes, "That's you." I go, "Sweet, living, feathery Christ." It was then that I knew. I pulled the weapon from the drawer. She stood there, saying, "No, Phil, don't do it. Don't do it, Phil." Click, click. Fat went flying everywhere. No, really. I mean, I looked at that thing. So check out the webcast because it does show me going in and out of character, all that bullcrap that people dig. And also, if you get a backstage pass for $6.95, you can access all of that stuff. See, if you don't have a backstage pass, you get no audio, you get no video. But with our backstage pass of $6.95, you can get our webcasts. All three of them are archived. The first two webcasts we did, by the way, were the 360-degree camera, which you can scroll. It's kind of cool. I prefer the one we did Friday, just to drown out. The video quality was much better. But the 360-degree thing, it scrolls around the room. It also includes 3 hours of show prep, like Janice and I standing in the room just going, what do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? Well, I don't know. What do you want to do? Well, I don't know. And then Dr. Laura walks in and goes, up both of your asses, and then walks out. So I think you'll enjoy that. And then finally, certainly our souvenir shop is a place that the Phil Henry aficionado must stop at. Great stuff in our souvenir shop. I know Christmas is over, but hey, Martin Luther King's birthday is coming up. Great gift-giving holiday. Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse North Pole Polar Fleece Pullovers. Ted's of Beverly Hills Deluxe Barbecue Set. And... what's so funny, jackass? And who asked you to walk in here with the light on?
Here, I give you some news.
What's so funny?
Well, you mentioned a Martin Luther King birthday.
Yeah. What's funny about that?
You're giving away a barbecue set.
What a racist piece of crap.
No, no, I'm taking race sensitivity.
Yeah, you're taking race sensitivity. Do you know that Martin Luther King stood for? Do you know that he was a man of vision and courage? Do you know?
He had a lot of girlfriends.
Yes, he had a lot of girlfriends. Nobody is denying that. But the man's life's work in the battle for the civil rights of all people, I think, stands the testament of time. Every man makes mistakes. It's a man's work that I think should stand out.
Whatever.
That's a great gift idea. A barbecue set.
Well, you walked right into it.
Get out of here, man. This is, I'm doing a two-man show here. Bug off. The Ted's of Beverly Hills apron. Get out of here, bud. And, of course, our Western Estates polo shirts, our Terry Velour robe, the Country Club tote. We also have our Citizens Auxiliary police cap. All right, that's it. I got to put on some music while I beat the hell out of him. Pardon me, folks. If you hear screaming, I will try to turn the music up loud. Come here, bud.
No, please don't hurt me. Please, come here.
You didn't hear anything, did you? All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Bottom of the hour, we have a rare visit from Dave Oliva, who was on our show on Friday. Dave is an aspiring police officer with the Los Angeles Police. Right now, he's taking criminal justice at some JC, but he hopes to be at the LA Police Academy. He'll be talking at the bottom of the hour about some swill, some silly notion that he has. Oh, I know what it was. The Tennessee cops that got that guy last week with those two little girls. They were okay for a hillbilly force, but the LAPD would have done it much better. They would, I guess, just looked at the guy. The reason why the guy didn't kill himself, remember when he shot, all he did, and he's still alive, is he was laughing so hard at the technique of the Tennessee State Patrol that he couldn't hold the gun steady to kill him, to blow his own brains out. What? All right, in the news, President Bush apparently has been applauded south of the border by his immigration policies. The Border Patrol, the men and women who have worked the Border Patrol, call it a slap in the face, saying, well, if you didn't want us to work so hard keeping these people out, then why didn't you just tell us? I don't know which side of the fence I want to stand on. I don't know which side of the border, if you will, I want to be on this one, where the president wants to legitimize. He wants to legitimize the presence of these millions of people in our country by giving them some kind of legal work status. I suppose that's fine. I got no problem again with that on principle. The problem I've got is, like I said on my show last week, and you got to, you know... to take it for what it's worth, I don't care. Why does the Mexican government get a pass on all of this? How come they get to sit down there and dictate what's good and what's bad for their people when it comes to America? How did we get so stupid? How did we get so weak? How did we get so self-hating? Why do you hate being an American? Why do you hate sticking up for your own country? What is wrong with a lot of you? Is it not hip enough? Huh? Is that it? It's not cool waving a flag. Oh, yeah, excuse me. I forgot. If you wave a flag, you're some kind of a goose stepper, right? Yeah, okay, uh-huh. So, well, let's just let everybody in. And California will become Quebec. And language, you know, Spanish will become... See, it wouldn't be so bad if we demanded, absolutely demanded, English. Are you a racist, Mr. Henry? No, I'm not a racist. If you check the definition of racism, by the way, you'd realize that I'm nowhere near being a racist, but I realize that may be beyond the mental capacity for a lot of people. No, I'm simply an American who believes that societies hold together best when everyone speaks the same language. It's been proven time and again. You want to fracture a society? Have it be bilingual. There's nothing wrong, and there's certainly nothing racist about asking everybody to learn how to speak English. But we are so self-hating and so guilty over the success we've had as a country, we got to do something to weaken ourselves, don't we? Otherwise, that makes us somehow superior than to the Vietnamese and the Mexicans and the Paraguayans and all these people, and that's just not right. We're not superior. It just so happens that we've built a superior product. Now, they can do the same thing. The superior product we've built is a superior society. In other words, one which affords its citizens a much better life than the one that they've been able to build. It doesn't make me a racist saying that. For God's sake. It doesn't make me a goose stepper. It doesn't make me xenophobic. It means that I'm stating a point, a fact. If the president wants to allow legal status for the millions of Mexican workers that are here, that's fine. I don't think it's a horrifying trade-off to insist that English be spoken. And I don't think it's a terrible thing to once and for all, tell the state of California and other states, no. No more bilingual driver's handbooks. Thank you very much. Well, we have to have it in Vietnamese. Stop it. You don't understand, Mr. Henry. You don't understand the practical reality of people that are pouring into this country. At what point do we say, enough, man? No, okay. I understand, but no, you don't get to have any more. At the very heart and soul of the immigration argument is a country of Americans, a country of people who are guilty for having success as a people and as a nation, who feel like they have to be knocked down a notch to be on the same level with everybody else. Otherwise, what? You're not down with the third world, so you're not as cool as them? What does that mean? All of a sudden, you know, you can't boogaloo? You got a great country here, but you want to weaken it because it just isn't right to have one country so much stronger than another country. You want to weaken our nation to the point where we are just like everybody else. We are in the same mix as, for instance, Mexico, a country of very good people, but a totalitarian government. Autocrats run that country. The life condition down there is terribly low for most people. Most people. They rely upon tourism. You want America to be like that so that we can be equal, an equal state among other equal states. Let somebody else rise up, I guess, and become stronger. You know what? Every single person who believes that the United States is pushing its weight around the world over, every single one of them who believes that America should not be conducting the kind of foreign policy that it is conducting right now would scream like a stuck pig once the... The status of life in this country begins to deteriorate as the result of us not adequately protecting our country. I got a really interesting article I was reading today about the war on terror. And this idiot that wrote this article said, was it Paul O'Neill who wrote the article? I know Paul O'Neill is the former Treasury Secretary who is now divulging minutes of National Security Council meetings. This is a man who got fired and is now acting like a fired employee. He's getting pissed off at his ex-boss. Paul O'Neill doesn't have any dirt on George Bush. If he did, he could have quit his job like a real man and gone public with it, if he really had some dirt. But he's not a man, he's a mouse, and he's a guy that got fired, and now he's got to go out there and start throwing stuff around. But let me ask you this. The statement was made, there is a world of difference between Al-Qaeda and the terrorists that operated out of Iraq. The Al-Aqsar, the Islam group in northern Iraq, the terrorists that Hussein was supporting. He said, as if all terror groups are the same sort of monolithic entity, to which I would respond with this question. If you think there's a difference between Al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein, What do I say to a black man when the Ku Klux Klan and the white Aryan resistance are both trying to burn his house down? Do I tell him, well, you can trust the Klan, but the white Aryan resistance... Do you want me to honestly say to him, one group may be better than the other? One group he doesn't have to fear and the other he does? Is that what you really believe? You really believe that, like, Aryan nations and Aryan brotherhood are somehow different from, like, what the Klan wants? And so this group may be much more violent and much more active, and this group is kind of benign, and you should really fear this group, but these guys, don't worry about them. That's the thinking, the pea-brain, childlike thinking that goes on around people who are opposed to the war on terror. That's exactly how they think. They think that there's a real difference and that there should be specific strategies that are completely different for each group. So when we fought the Heinrich Himmler Brigade, that's different from the Wehrmacht and then the Luftwaffe and then all of the different groups. Let's just to fight them all different under 85 different plans. Because you know what? They're terrorists, yes, but one, we should have to absolutely go after Al-Qaeda. We must go after Al-Qaeda, yes. Why are we wasting our time going into Iraq? We should. Why don't we have Osama bin Laden yet? Hey, I'm going to tell you why we ain't got Osama bin Laden yet, okay? It's gonna blow your mind. Well, I can tell you right now, he's in another country. It's called Pakistan. To get him, we'd have to invade. Oops. Guess we shouldn't do that, should we? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Yeah, Dave Oliva, aspiring LAPD police officer on our show on Friday, who said, you know, those Tennessee cops were good getting that Jerry Jones creep, that guy that abducted those two little girls, but the LAPD would do it much better. You know, LAPD is the greatest.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Hey, I'm actually calling. I'm an MP in the United States Army.
What is that?
Military police. For somebody who wants to work for LAPD, I would think you'd know what a military police officer is.
Well, but it's not the same thing.
It is actually the very same thing. You deal with civilians.
You're beating up black guys in bars and stuff.
No, you're actually not. Have you ever been to Fort Bliss, Texas, sir?
No. Why would I want to go there, man?
Fort Bliss, Texas is the size of Denver. It's a military base. Those military people are not always on duty.
Well, there's
traffic stops.
Do they
also
have ghettos and stuff?
But there's also
area?
Traffic stops. And
do they have a black
area? I think the issue here is you need to stop running so many movies from Blockbuster, because that's not how police officers do their work.
My understanding is, as a military police officer, all you do is pull drunk Marines out of hookers' panties and stuff. I mean, you know.
No, that's actually
no.
That's probably something you gathered from the movies, also.
This gentleman,
did you see that in Full Metal Jacket?
What are you talking about, man? I'm talking about...
No, wait a minute. This man is just got done telling you he patrols, along with other MPs, a military base the size of Denver, Colorado. And there are people, like you were saying, Jared, who are driving vehicles on the base. And what else?
There's everything that cops do in civilian life, that's the same thing that military...
Well, it's like a pretend cop in a lot of ways. I mean, I'm not trying to disrespect you, but...
Well, you haven't done a lot of research, because if you did, you'd know that 90% of active LAPD are ex-military police officers.
What do you mean 90%?
90% of them.
Where'd you hear about that?
I did research, because I'm thinking about becoming a police officer after I'm done with the military.
In the LAPD?
And your chance... No, I would never work for the LAPD.
Why not?
Because it's a horrible department.
Oh, right, man. What do you want to work for? You want to go down to be the Tennessee Hillbilly Patrol?
Actually...
If you're an MP, then listen to this. You can't handle the truth. What did you think of that?
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
All right, that's whatever his name is. Dave Oliva. So, yeah. You know, Fort Bliss, Texas, do they have a black area? 1-800-449-8686. And let's see. We had... what does air passenger code mean? I don't understand what that is. What the hell is that? Is that something else we were going to talk about? You know, that flashback was so mediocre, I've just completely, I've lost. Yeah, it was totally mediocre. We had funnier calls than that in that hour. I know for a fact. All right. What's your passenger code? Well, while we're looking for it, the Phil Henry website, of course, at www.philhenryshow.com, is how I make another portion of my income. So every time you visit and get a backstage pass, a sliver of that goes to the Henry family. Thank you and good night. Precautions in the name of air security are about to take to a level unimaginable in the United States only a few years ago. The Washington Post reports the Bush administration is expected to order as soon as next month the first step in setting up databases on all air passengers to be used to color code each air traveler according to his or her potential threat level. Now, I like that. Now, are you ready for that? That means that we will be in a database. And that means that we will be photographed, fingerprinted, stuck in a database, so that if you've got a criminal record, then the airlines get to find out just what kind of a scumbag is getting on their airplane. I think that's pretty decent. I think it's a great idea, and I think it's long overdue. Since when is air travel anything other than traveling on somebody else's airplane, a business regulated by the federal government, a piece of equipment owned by somebody, and you're traveling in an aircraft, which is could be a very, very dangerous situation where the wrong people on board, the thing's a flying missile now, as we know, a bomb. Why not get everybody's everything, blood type? Do that eye thing they're doing now. What is that? How they identify with your eyeball? What kind of eyeball has he got? What kind of head of hair has he got? Who is he anyway that's getting on my airplane with me? It's far better than having someone go, "Excuse me, stewardess, but the man in seat Z looks like a raghead." "Excuse me, stewardess, I don't mean, but the man is a little swarthy back there. He looks like a freaking towel wrapper." That's way better, man. Far more professional and certainly a lot more accurate, having a database of passengers. Oh, Jesus, Henry, you really are in favor of Big Brother, aren't you? Let me ask you a question, because maybe I'm missing something, okay? What kind of a world do you think you're living in right now, anyway? Do you think that this is Indiana Jones? Do you think we're back in the 19th century, and it's still the Wild West, and we're all going out west in a covered wagon for the Pillsbury Bake Off? Is that what you think's going on around here? You think we're going out for the big land grab? This world that we live in now, you are using credit cards, you're using every kind of electronic money transfer that you can possibly imagine. Every time you order an airline ticket, a background check in terms of your credit, purchasing an automobile. This, in other words, ladies and gentlemen, your rights, your so-called rights to a secure life, where the government knows little or next to nothing, you gave that up, baby, the minute you applied for a driver's license. And now cats are going to tell me, "Oh, man, this is stepping way over the line. This is Big Brother." Dude, it's been Big Brother since about 1945, when computers began a mass application of computers in business. 1945, right after World War II. I'm going to get in an airplane and fly transcontinental, and some dude sitting on the plane who's got like a rap sheet 86 miles long. I think they ought to have just a scumbag section of the plane. Remember how they used to have the smoking section? Every scumbag sits up front where we can keep an eye on them. "Oh, hi, I'm like the part." "Wow, what a rap sheet you got, huh? Did time for murder, armed assault, rape?" "Yeah, it's okay. Doesn't mean you don't get on the plane. We just know who you are. We know who you are, what you are, like in Con Air." Jesus, movies are so jive. You know, there isn't one movie that has ever come close. Even Wag the Dog, which people thought really predicted, Bosnia, that they thought that really sort of was prognosticative. Well, the fact of the matter is the term Wag the Dog in politics had been used 2, 3, 4 years before that movie came out. The movie was inspired by someone in politics saying that an event most probably could have been set up by a president. They were talking about politics influencing events as early as the 1980s. So go kiss my Irish you-know-what. Con Air. You know, before 9/11, the biggest threat we had were what? Chinese and commies and all that, and we were still looking for POWs down in Vietnam. Remember that? Before 9/11, Chuck Norris was still doing his I'm looking for POWs in Vietnam movies. Oh, my God. Norris, would you stop? Stop while there's still life left in that thing, man. Just, I don't know, I understand you're doing reserve work for the Texas Rangers. That sounds like a good thing for you. What are you, about 5 foot nothing with a big 10-gallon hat? I bet you that's hysterical looking at you with two big boots and a hat moving along the floor and a mustache hanging out from underneath it. You look like Yosemite Sam after somebody took the hammer to him. That's Chuck Norris. Keep doing that, man. Then all of a sudden, 9/11 hits, and bingo, we got a whole new thing. We got ragheads. Hey, we've had ragheads for a long time, Effendi. So let me, as long as we're on that subject, I want to tell you why the insanity and why Bush's, you know, the war on terror is absolutely right. Because here's the thing. People say, well, why are we still going after Al-Qaeda? We've been going after Al-Qaeda since 9/11. Every time we go after Al-Qaeda, we got people screaming and crying about it. We found people that were going into Afghanistan to fight for Al-Qaeda up in Oregon. Oh, well, they're not big fish. They're just people traveling to that country. Well, hey, what do you want us to do, man? Pass them by for somebody bigger? What about the people up in Buffalo? Every time you go after somebody in this country who was working with Al-Qaeda, we got 9 million people out there who want to protect their constitutional rights like they never were. In Guantanamo right now, the people that we did capture in Afghanistan, everybody's crying up a freaking river over those cats. Every time we make a move to defend this country, it is wrong. It's unconstitutional. It shouldn't be done. More, like I said, that's the hate in this country toward ourselves more than anything else is what's going to kill us as a society. That's ultimately what's going to just destroy this country. The embarrassment at having a wonderful country. Now, Osama bin Laden, you say, what's up with him? He's in Pakistan. That's where he is. He's in Pakistan, in the westernmost provinces of Pakistan, in a no-man's land near the Khyber Pass, where nobody goes in or out without having, like, a scar on a cheek and an eye patch and, like, well, one half of your leg cut off and your whole testicles missing. I mean, these are some bad dudes. Bad dudes. Now, you want us to go into Pakistan, too? You know, we invaded Iraq. Everybody was squealing like a pig under a freaking gate. You want us to go into Pakistan, too, huh? Because that's where he is, and if we go in there, it means we piss off the Pakis. That's not exactly a government we want to topple.
Oh, well, how hypocritical. We toppled Iraq.
Yeah, good riddance to bad freaking garbage, too. So, thank God we did. So, no, we can't get Al-Qaeda right now. We can't get Osama because he's sitting in some cave in Pakistan. We probably know right where his ass is, if you want to get right down to it. But if we went in and got him and violated the, what is it called again? The internal sovereignty of Pakistan, we'd probably have a whole bunch of people, you know, jumping down our throat for that one, too. You can't make a move in this country. You can't go hide, nor hair, nor up or down or east or west without someone squealing about the violation of the Constitution. And most of the time, they're wrong. Dead freaking wrong. Just like they're wrong about this Patriot Act. The rights of Arab Americans being violated, huh? There hasn't been one instance. Not one. Now we got Guantanamo. If we go into Iraq to try to neutralize terrorists, and people say that's not going against those people that brought their hell against us in 9/11, that's not taking on Al-Qaeda, then we take on Al-Qaeda, and people are squealing about them not getting their rights. I don't know what the problem is, but apparently, you know, Bush ain't all that loved, which is fine. That's America. And the Democratic Party has been completely co-opted by a bunch of freaking actors. Hey, where are all the business people in our party? Where are all the political scientists in our party? Where are all the thinkers and philosophers? Where are the doctors? Where are the lawyers? Where are the small business owners who are Democrats and the big business owners? Why have you not taken control of this party? Why have you given it over to a bunch of coffee-clutch jackass actors? Their thumbs up their asses, not an ounce of education between them. All they got is freaking hot air. Yeah, just like you, Henry. Well, this is what I do for a living, baby. I ain't making movies, I'm making movies, I'll make movies. But where are those people that can guide this party, not these clowns who are shoving Howard freaking Dean down our throat, who's got about as much in common with the average American as Gollum has with the Hobbits? Although he was a hobbit at one time, so I guess, you know, he's got more in common than he does with that big fag Gandalf. Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, that big guy Gandalf, All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Hey, this is interesting. Every time there's an article about tequila in the news, you know, the Phil Hendry Show will bring it to you, and we will certainly do our very best to clarify any statements made in the news about tequila. You are listening, of course, to your foremost authority on tequila, the Phil Hendry Show. We need some kind of a sounder. I don't have it yet, but I'll come up with something. Maybe, you are listening to the foremost authority on tequila in radio.
On the R.C. Collins Blows-O-Meter. Egg salad.
The Phil Hendry Show. And bringing you the latest news in tequila, Harrison Ford was spotted blasted on tequila, dancing with, like, strange women in some dump in San Felipe. Apparently he's got big troubles there with Callista. She ate their firstborn, and so he's very angry about that. I'm kidding. Harrison's love life doomed? Question mark. This the latest from Celebrity Reports. Residents in San Felipe, Baja, were shocked to find leading man Harrison Ford drowning his woes in tequila and dancing in their local bar. Patrons said the newly divorced celebrity revealed that his relationship with his girlfriend was, quote, on the rocks, end quote. Callista Flockhart has been seen jogging near the couple's Hollywood home and looking miserable. All right, well, that must prove it. She's looking miserable, and he's down in Mexico getting hammered. Yeah, I'd say there's nothing wrong with a guy taking off and have a little fun. Jesus H. You know, this is the kind of reporting that makes it difficult for a married man or even a guy who's, you know, living with a woman to get away and just get, you know, blasted a little bit. Smoke a couple of cigars and breathe the fresh, clean air of the Mexican coast. And Callista's jogging? Yeah, a little more jogging there, Callista. You really need to keep that fat off. Look, are you nuts or something, kid? You look terrible, baby.
Well, Harrison doesn't think so.
Okay, well, you want to trust the judgment of a guy that's powdering freaking Cuervo 1800? That's your business. You want to go ahead and trust the judgment of some guy that considers Cuervo Gold good stuff? He's probably down there sucking on that moonshine, and they tell him, this is good stuff, senor, Siri. This is Mexican tequila. And they pull the jug out from underneath the bar, and when you're sucking down molten tires, you know you've had yourself a little of that Mexican moonshine, baby. Holy sweet living feathery mother of the Lord. You ever had that stuff? Oh, my God. Kid brought it out from under the bar one time I was down there. He says, you want to try this? This is what the people drink. I said, well, the Mexican people are a very impoverished lot. He says, skip it, okay? Just don't give me the speech. So he poured me a glass of that stuff. It was like somebody melted down tires and took the runoff, strained the water out of that, and then put some alcohol into it. Like tire, but God, did it make me feel good. Harrison Ford was dancing the night away with people. You know what I think is great about this? Tequila was made for guys like Harrison Ford, so we get a little bit of personality. Honest to God, I bet you off the set I hear this guy's a dullard. That's what I hear, but then aren't I allowed to speculate? I did see him on one of them late night shows. What was it, Conan or Con Air? Or one of them guys, Larry or Leno or Lino or Leaping Lena, the Jay Leaping Lena Leno show. And he was just as dull as, I mean, he was as dull as freaking looking at a mailbox. He couldn't say anything. He couldn't speak. You know what I would do if I got an actor like, see, a lot of these actors, they say they're embarrassed. And they don't give a lot of interviews. If I'm Leno, and I go to the trouble of booking Harrison Ford on my show, and the guy don't want to talk? So, Harrison, how you doing?
I'm just, you know, it's okay.
Uh-huh. And what's your new movie?
Well, you know,
You know, what am I sitting here talking to myself? Well, you can't talk to Harrison Ford. Well, I'm talking to him like that right now. Now, either you start answering some questions, Ford, or I'm going to kick your ass out of here, okay? Out of here. People are going to see it. Now, start answering some questions! Well, I don't want you yelling at me. Oh, what a baby! Get out of here. Okay, God, get out of here. When have you ever seen a host, like, kick a famous guy off? I'd kick his ass out of there. You don't answer my questions? You want to sit there? Why don't you go home to Callista, okay? See what she's got cooking up. Maybe she's cooking a bean for dinner. You guys can split that. By the way, Callista, just a little note for you, baby. You are looking so fat. I mean, your ass is huge. You better get out and jog a little bit more. Honest to God, I saw you on the other some TV show the other day. You are fat, baby. No kidding. Get that weight off, huh? A little pneumonia wouldn't hurt.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.